praise and worship, amen, even though we're not in proximity to one another, but God is good for his spirit, what travels all around. His spirit is what? It's not restricted to time and space, for he's a God that lives outside of space. And I'm just so grateful to all the members of the Safe House Church. Your pastor loves you, and so grateful to see you here in church again on today. For God has just been so good to us. He's been better to us than we are have been to ourselves. And good morning to those now joining us via of social media. Amen. You know, we have to do what we have to do. We have to find some workarounds, but we're going to worship God. Amen. Even if they tell us we can't use their music or whatever the case may be, but it's God's music. Amen. He just allowed them to have the ability to put the things down, and he translates through them. If it ain't the gospel, it ain't nothing anyway. Amen. And I'm just so grateful. So what we do is we worship in private on our Zoom link. Amen. So feel free also to forever know to come out and join our Zoom link. We worship there on Zoom. Amen. And then when we actually come here on the Facebook, the YouTube, or whatever the case may be, all the different social medias, here we find ourselves that in this space, we only, amen, go through our services and the preached word of God, amen. They can't lay copyright to that. But God is good and he's worthy to be praised, amen. I'm just so grateful, so grateful. I just don't say that lightly. I just don't say that just to be saying that. But I am truly grateful, amen, because, you know, there was someone who wanted to be here on this week that's no longer here, amen. And there was someone, you know, that whose life was, you know, prematurely taken on last weekend. It wasn't yours because you're here, amen. And we're just so grateful to God for you all being here with us. Could have been some other way, but he didn't allow it. Amen. We want to, you know, reach out this morning, amen. As you know, today is First Lady's birthday, amen. Amen. I'll give y'all away a little bit here. First Lady's birthday today, and I wanted to say happy birthday to her. We are just so grateful. Amen. Y'all know the lady there. First Lady is right there. Amen. And just so grateful. And we just want to send, blessings and a happy birthday to her. Amen. On this morning. And we just really, really appreciate her. And we just thankful to her what God has allowed her to be in our life, our life, you know, and to our children's life. And we're just grateful that God has blessed her with, I'm not going to say the years, amen. You know, but yeah, even though my wife is not ashamed, she looks good for her age, amen. And we age gracefully. And I'm just so grateful that God has just been so good to us. So just want to say happy birthday this day. Easter Sunday, if I believe it was, amen. So this was on a Sunday that she was brought into this world, amen. And we're just so grateful. And we want to celebrate her all day today. As you see God in the beautiful family that God has blessed us with, and we're just grateful. We're grateful to all of those. Reach out to her and let her know that she's loved, you know, Facebook, Cash App, whatever you want to do. We'll just be grateful. We just want to say a major shout out to Lady Ely. Amen. And she celebrates her birthday today, and that we appreciate her. Amen. Amen. All right. So we get rid of these pictures. Amen. Oh, I got an arrow here too. We'll get rid of that. So as we walk in this morning, you all know that we've been focusing on the series this month, this whole year. Well, our theme for the year, I believe God has given us, is to reimagine God. And what I mean by reimagine, not that you're going to imagine him to be, you know, begin with, because God is very much real, but how we met him, how we came into interaction with him, how we first come to know him is critical, because the way that we come to know him is the way that we see him. It's the way we interact with him. If you met a person one way, you have a tendency to see them in that light until you are actually put into a situation where you're forced to see them differently. When you're put into a situation or a circumstance where you get to know them in a different way. And this whole year, we've been reimagining God in the space to say, okay, God, you know, I come to know you in this way. I saw you in this format. I came to you in this particular situation. You know, some of us, it came that we came to God for healing, and he healed our bodies, and then we became bonded to him. Some of us, we came to God for deliverance. Oh, come on, somebody. And we came to know God that way. Some of us came out of refuge. We were running for things, and we came to know him in that way. But I'm here to also tell you today that you can know God in a different way. You can know him as the God of the mountaintop, but you also can know him as the God of the valley. But no matter which way you know him, that he still is God. So we've been very intentional about the way that we've been talking about God and reimagining him. And this month, we've been on our family life series. Every month, we change the focus on how we focus in on him. And this particular month, our family life series, we've been focusing on life and the family. On last week, in particular, we focused on one of the first stories in the Bible of Cain and Abel. And we know that story describes a offerings that was getting offerings that were not accepted by God. And we talked about why they were not accepted and how do we find ourselves in these particular situations and these circumstances and how to avoid some of the mistakes and things that were done, the lessons that were learned from that particular situation. Amen. And on this day now we move forward and we have another one that I believe God has given us. And I want you to reach out and tell your neighbor, if I got it, we got it. If I got it, we got it. Amen. I really do believe that. That if I got it, we got it. I know some people, you know, they say, well, you know, what I got is what I got, and that's that. But we are truly in the space that the Bible tells us constantly and consistently that it's better to give than to receive. And one of the reasons I believe that the Bible speaks about it is better to give than to receive is because when you're in a place that you are giving, when you're in a place that you are giving, when your day and time comes, and there will be a time that your day and time comes, you are in position that you're able to receive that which you need. Oh, come on, somebody. See, the truth of the matter is we all need each other to survive. We all need each other. None of us are on this planet by ourselves. None of us work in this situation by ourselves. None of these things we are just done because what? We were just good enough. Amen. But we are all in this together. God preordained and he designed it that way, that way. I am my brother's keeper, as we talked about on last week, that I am my brother's keeper. I am part of the vine that they are growing on. I am part of the situation. I am part of the circumstance. And we all what learn from one and another. We all support one and another. And therefore, what? There, I believe God intentionally made it such that we needed each other and what? We have to communicate. You know, during my lifetime, I've been on a number of leadership opportunities and leadership spaces and leadership conferences. And I remember one particular one that I went to a few years back, amen, maybe 5 or 6 years back, in fact. And it was one particular activity that always kind of stuck with me that they gave us. And this one particular activity was an activity of puzzles. And if you know a jigsaw puzzle, you have puzzle pieces, amen. The puzzles are cut into different shapes and different sizes. And you have this puzzle that, you know, you put together. And once the puzzle, all the pieces of the puzzle is put together, what happens is that now you see this picture that was preordained, or this picture that was pre-designed there in the space. You see this picture. Well, in this particular case, they had some kind of like Ziploc bags for this activity that, you know, I guess it was a Ziploc puzzle that kind of came in a bag. Amen. And the Ziploc puzzle that came in this bag, you know, obviously had the picture on the outside of what we were looking and aiming to do. And they gave the puzzle pieces to various groups. So, I mean, not the puzzle piece, the bag. And everybody had their own puzzle to solve. Everybody had their own situation to solve. Everybody had their own circumstance to solve. And they gave us a time period to go. And what we would do is, like, when they told us to go, we would open that Ziploc bag and we'll pour out the puzzle pieces. And together we were starting to work to see how do we get to be the picture that was on the puzzle bag. I'm here to tell you today that God has what? He has an end plan. He has a destination. He has a place that what? That he desired for us to be in. Amen. And it's our job in life to understand and walk through and walk in by faith and not by sight to put together the pieces of the puzzle to find the picture that's at the end. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you all with me? This one, I feel like preaching today. See, and as we walk through life, what we do is we find that we have these puzzle pieces that now we put together because God has given us the end. The Bible said that we prophesy in part, that we know in part, which simply means this, that God tells you the end, but he doesn't give you the journey. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? How many of you know that God starts you out and then he shows you a glimpse of what the end looks like? But you know what? He didn't tell you about the part in between. He didn't tell you about the journey. See, it's like that GPS. You know, the GPS, you know, you'll put in and say, GPS, I want to go to this destination. And the GPS will what? Map you out a way to that destination. But what you can do through life is that you can make some wrong turns. Oh, come on, somebody. That you can make some wrong turns here and there. But what happens is if you are locked in, if you are settled on the destination, I do not care how many wrong turns you take. There is what always a recalibration of your destination. It may take you longer to get there, but when you start to listen to the voice of God, when you start to stay steadfast and unmovable, and you get into that place that you decide to stop listening on your own and start listening to heaven's door, start listening to what he is saying, start listening to those and realize that what it's not about you, but what we are all in this space together, then you find yourself getting back on track and you'll find yourself what? Getting to the destination. This is why, brothers and sisters, we cannot be focused on everybody else's race. We cannot be focused on everybody else's puzzle, but we have to solve the puzzle that's put before us. Come on, somebody. So as you go forth now, we was in this place and we was putting together our puzzle pieces. We were looking at the destination. This is why it's important that we read the Bible. Why? The Bible reminds us of the destination. The Bible reminds us that heaven is the goal. The Bible reminds us that living right is the goal. The Bible reminds us that crying aloud is spare not. The Bible reminds us that these things that what? These shall be added unto them who what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible reminds us that blessings shall flow. But the Bible reminds us that if we stay steadfast and unmovable, the Bible reminds us that weeping shall endure for a night, but joy shall come in the morning. The Bible reminds us to keep the faith and hold on and what? Never give up. The Bible reminds us that, Lord, that sometimes our faith is so far from him, from the east and the west. The Bible reminds us that if we have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, that we should speak to the mountains and the mountain has to move. The Bible reminds us that he said, cast our cares on him for he cares for us. The Bible reminds us that if we seek him, his face, and turn from our evil ways, then when we hear from heaven, then he will forgive our sins, and then when he heal our land. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking about predestination this morning. I'm talking about being recalibrated this morning. I'm talking about if I got it, then we got it. Oh, come on, somebody. I feel my help coming on this morning, and I'm not even giving you a text yet. So I found myself as we was doing the puzzle, and we was going through the puzzle pieces, and we were putting the puzzle together. What we got to the point was we all at some point realized that we had a piece of a puzzle that did not belong to us. That we had the piece of a puzzle that did not belong to us. What we realize is the piece that I had that I was trying to force fit, the piece that I had, what was not my piece of the puzzle, but my piece of the puzzle was not complete. Oh yeah. Until what? I went and I talked to somebody else. Because the truth of the matter is that God is giving you what you need, but he also put the other parts that you need in somebody else. I'm a strong believer that what? I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. I'm sorry to tell you, as great as wonderful as you all may think I am, there's some pieces to my puzzle that are missing. And those pieces to my puzzle lie in you. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why it's important that you and I communicate in this space. This is why it's important that you and I have conversation. This is why it's important that I learn you and you learn me. The Bible says it like this, that iron sharpens iron. Oh, come on. That I am made better by the countenance or the countenance of my brother. So which means sometimes we may not agree. And it's okay for us to walk away and disagree, amen, and not be disagreeable. It's, you know, because the Bible talks about even that was Paul and I think it was John Mark, that they had some disagreements. Oh, see, everybody think that everybody in the Bible always got along, that all the apostles got along, but they had a disagreement, and one was what they walked, Paul went his way, and this one went his way. Didn't mean that they loved Jesus any less. It didn't mean that they didn't think God was God of God and he was King of Kings. But sometimes we have disagreements. Sometimes we see things a little differently. And it's part of being human. But what I find is that as we are rubbing each other, as iron sharpens iron, that causes friction, which causes heat, which causes things to do this thing that we call scientifically to metamorph. Metamorph means to change. How many of you know that sometimes you change because you're being rubbed by somebody else? Some of you being changed because of your brother, your blood brother. Some of you being changed by your blood sister. Some of you, the hardest people to deal with is people that you shared the womb with. Come on, somebody. What I mean, that same person that you shared the womb with rubs you wrong. That same person that you share that womb with, you wonder, it's no way that we came out of this together. So my puzzle piece, I find, may not necessarily lie with me. Therefore, what I have to communicate, this is why it's better to give than receive. Why? Because there's something that you have that actually may belong to me, but it lies in you. Mm-hmm. My treasure lies in you. Your treasure lies in me. And as we exchange, as we talk, as we walk, as we get in this space together, what we find is that I give to you what you need, and you give to me what I need. So I need you to survive. Let's take my text. Let's go to the text here. But those who have fallen by way, I'm sorry, I don't want to get too stirred up here today. We want to go to the book of Genesis. Genesis 25, 24 through 34 today. And I'm going to read this text to you as we switch over to our live reading here. We want to go to Genesis. Again, let me take this stuff off because I know we got to get it here. We want to go to Genesis, the 25th chapter, and I think we were starting at verse 20. I think it was verse. What the verse did I have up here? I can't wait. God gonna send me somebody gonna help me work these screens. So I ain't gotta do all of this and read and preach. But you know what? It's all good. Verse is chapter 25, verses 24 through 34. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and pull this and get rid of this stuff on the screen here. Bear with me for a moment. There we go. There we go. So all this won't be on the screen when we talk here. So by now you should have your Bibles. All right. Here we go. Let me zoom this down for you. Make sure that you all can see it. All right, so we are starting at verse 24, right? No, let's go up. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, verse 24. Yeah, we'll start at 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, meaning what? She's reached fertile term pregnancy here. She's about to deliver. Behold, there were twins in her womb. Now, the interesting thing about this, you got to remember during this time period, they didn't have ultrasound. They didn't have the privilege of knowing the things that you and I know now. I know I'm just so grateful, you know, that we had ultrasound and all these different things. You know, I was able to know the sex of our babies, and we knew everything as much as possible about our babies before they even got here. Amen. Why? Because of the advances in technology that we were able to find those things out. So back then, she didn't know. So here you got to think about what was the surprise to step up here and have twins. All right. Not just twins, but what kind of twins did she have? And the Bible says this in verse 25. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they call his name Esau. So not only here, she has two boys, two babies here. The babies are what? There we come to find out that they're going to be boys. And the first one was Harry, red. So meaning that when he had red hair, just like we know people red hair, or as I think my wife said, you call him ginger. I said, okay, baby, I didn't know. All right, so he's a ginger, I guess is what we would call this. But he's a hairy, and he has, the Bible said, all over like a hairy garment. So this boy was quite hairy. So that means he had hair all over his body. Amen. And the hair was red. This is key. So make sure we remember that. And the Bible says this in verse 26. And after that came his brother out. Notice here, they what? They shared the womb. Here we have brothers. In fact, they shared the womb at the same exact time. One was born before the other. The Bible says this, and that came out his brother, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So Isaac, their father, he's 80. So 80, score is being 20. Isaac here is what, 60 years old. That's not far fetched. We know men now can have babies, you know, that old, no problem, right? So what, he's 60 years old when the boys get here. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that as Esau was coming out of his mom's womb, that Jacob grabbed him by his heel. Jacob didn't want him to come out first. Jacob had already grabbed him by his heel. So this should have been an indication of which maybe that was to come. And the Bible says this in verse 27, and it says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, meaning he was a good hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. He was a man of what? As the Bible said, plain, meaning that here, he didn't have any great skill or great thing that he could do, but he hung out in the tents. And the Bible says this in verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau. Esau is a man's man. He's a daddy's guy. He's daddy's boy. He's a daddy pleaser. He's daddy's right hand man. He's firstborn. We already know that the birth order does matter. It matters biblically. It even matters today. We have scientific evidence that suggests that birth order matters. All right. Then what the Bible says this, but he did eat of what? Of his venison. So the daddy loved him, even fact that what? Because he killed deer, venison, deer. You know, this is nothing new, all right? But Rebecca, loved Jacob. So here we find Jacob, the one who hangs around at the house all the time. Jacob's a mama's boy. Mm-hmm. He's mama's guy. He's under his mama 24/7. That's who he do. That's what he do. He's mama's boy, right? We all know some mama's boys. We know they exist. Amen. And the Bible says this, and then it says, and Jacob sided pottage, right? So he grew plants. That's what he did. He sided pottage. He grew plants and things like that. So he had some agricultural skill. And Esau came from the field and was faint. Mm-hmm. Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau, hold on, I lost my mouse here. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, because he was faint. And Jacob said, sell me this day thou birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and he rose, and he went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau despised
He is verified.
How many of you today, if the truth be told, sometimes you despise the things that God has blessed you with? How many of you know that sometimes we take for granted the position and the things that God has done for us? Want to talk to you a little bit on today, if I could, for a few minutes here, as we've been talking about this series of the Family Life series, and we're talking about the different things and reimagining God in this space. I want to talk to you a little bit from this subject, if you would label the point with me. I got it. We got it. I got it. We got it. We find here, as we read today, that we have Esau and Jacob. The Bible says, if you read earlier, that they were representing two nations. And these two nations are here, where they would be in turmoil, for a while. That the older brother would serve the younger brother. And that is significant because of birthright and lineage, is that the birthright and all the blessings fall down in order. It falls down to the firstborn, and if the firstborn is not there, then it would fall down to the next one, et cetera, et cetera. And this is typically how things were passed down in lineage, that, you know, all that your father had came to the firstborn, and they call this the birthright, meaning that what, you know, I didn't pick when I was born, you didn't pick when you was born, but believe that what was divine intervention, that it was divinely set and it was divinely ordained by God, that what you came when you came. You were part of the family that you are part of because God has said it. That you are where you are because God has put these things in order. Remember, you and I have to remember that we do not belong to ourselves, but that we've been bought with a price. And that price was what? Jesus Christ's blood that was shed on Calvary. Amen. But see, so here we find this story that these two brothers, in fact, that what they were already fighting in the womb. I remember many years ago that my grandfather preached a message called Wrestling with Your Twin. And that was one of the messages that I think I never ever forget. As he talked about how Esau and Jacob was wrestling there in the womb, these two nations. And oftentimes you and I find ourselves wrestling with ourselves. We find ourselves wrestling with our destiny. We find ourselves wrestling with purpose. We find ourselves wrestling where we are and where we should be versus where we are and where God wants us to be and where we want to be and where he's ordained us to do and what we want to do. And we find ourselves wrestling with God, and we find ourselves in this space and wondering, okay, God, how do we get to the next level? Lord, is there something that I'm supposed to be doing? And he's constantly reminding us, and it's important that you and I are in places that God has ordained us to be. Why? Because as I explained when we first talked today, is that the piece of the puzzle that you have belongs to somebody else. The piece of the puzzle that you have that didn't fit. Indeed, you are the carrier, but it does not belong to you. See, I believe that God has us uniquely placed in this day and time. I believe he has us uniquely, that we came when we came. We were born how we were born. We interact with who we interact with. Why? Because there's something that I bring to the space that helps complete somebody else's story. Something that I bring to the space that completes somebody else's destiny, that completes somebody else's faith and helps them to go to the next level. There's some things that I can say that reach certain people that nobody else can say but me. There's some things that I think about it. There's some things that my wife can say to me or do to me that will bother me like none other. Why? Because she has that piece of me. There's some things that I can say that I can do that will bother her like no other. Why? Because I have that piece of her. When you think about those who are married, you think about your relationships, those who in your family, you think about your brothers and sisters. I can tell you right now, I'm the oldest of five, and nobody can get on my nerves like some of my brothers and sisters can. There are certain things that they just do. And I'm quite sure that the converse of that is also true. There are things that I can do that will prick them and pry them to be great or to do things or to want to just lash out that like no other. Because what? There's a piece of their puzzle that belongs. And we shared the same womb. We came up together. We grew up in the same house. We ate the same food. But yet, we're all called to different places in our walk with Christ. because God is multifaceted. He's not limited by what our, as we would say, our stinking thinking. Here we find that what now Esau and Jacob, in fight, they were fighting in the womb. I like to think they were fighting to see who was going to come out first. Why? Because they knew even then that the order of them mattered, that them coming out first mattered. You know, I stop and I think about it sometimes, and I think about a number of the people, you know, and visitors in, I mean, not visitors, but members of our church, and I just think about even birth order and that. I don't think it's strange that even most of us in our congregation are what? Firstborns. Think about that for a moment, church. Many of the members of our church, many of you are firstborns. Don't you think that's interesting? I'm a firstborn. My wife is a firstborn. Many of you husbands and wives, you are firstborns. Mm-hmm. Some of you are only children. Mm-hmm. Many of us are firstborns, yet we are all together here at the Safe House Church learning and sharing with one another. Why? Because there's something as a firstborn that we share with each other. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all getting where I'm going this morning. There's something that God has put in us as firstborn children that's inspired to lead. We already know research tells us certain things. And see, research doesn't make things up. What they do is just reveal what is already there. It tells us that most of us are leaders. Most of us are outgoing, you know, extroverted. Mm-hmm. Many of us are what? Be honest, we're people pleasers. We like to please our folks. We excel. We do well. Oh, come on. I'm just telling you what the research says, right? These things we all know. Now, look here in the Bible. We find what? Esau, firstborn. What does Esau do? He's with his dad. He's strong. He's smart. He's skillful. The Bible says he's a cunning hunter, meaning that he's a skillful hunter, and he provides for the house to the point that what he's willing to go out there and just pass out trying to make a way for the family. He's trying to what? Please his father. His father is at a point that his father is sold. So if you go from chapter 25, you'll go to chapter 26, skip over 26, because this story, it's interesting how the Genesis is written, is that it starts out like sometimes the story skips chapters. Because then if you go over to verse 26, you'll find that the father now has what? Gotten to a point that he's old. And the father is old, and what does the father do? The father is preparing to bless his children with their inheritances, with their inheritance. And in fact, what the father does is he tells his son, Esau, go out and kill a deer. Mm-hmm. And when you kill that deer, bring that food back to me. And once I eat that food and I prepare myself to die, I'm going to bless you with that which belongs to you. I'm going to bless you with that which belongs to you by birthright. So what does it do? If you go back and you read in chapter 27, you'll see that Esau, what? He hurries and he goes out and he goes hunting. But let's go back to where we are here. So now Esau is his dad's favorite. We find here that Jacob does not have the same skill that Esau has. He doesn't have the same drive that Esau has. But he has his own set of skills. This is why it's important that we as parents know that we don't lump all our children together. Everybody has their calling. Everybody has their path. Everybody has their way. But we're all paths at the end of the day, no matter what their talent is, no matter what they bring to the table, that it what leads back to God and the work that he has set for us. So now we find that what Jacob is here. Jacob, his name literally means trickster. Jacob is full of tricks. He's always what? Trying to get over. He's trying to get in front. Why? Because what? He wants what his brother has. Mm-hmm. He desires what his brother has. But why does he get to the point that he's willing to do any and everything to get what his brother has? Number one, I want you to write down this, is that he understands the significance of the inheritance. He understands vision long term. See, today, brothers and sisters, we have people all around the world that say, why should I prepare? I might not even live tomorrow. I've heard that more than the times that I care to mention. You know, you tell somebody, hey, why aren't you preparing? Why aren't you saving? Why aren't you trying to get better in this space? And they tell you, well, I don't even know if I'm going to live the next day. Is this a true statement? Yes. Is it also deflection? Absolutely. Deflection for laziness. Deflection for, you know, for slothfulness. It's a deflection for, hey, I just want to do what I want to do. Let me enjoy the moment. And enjoying the moment is critical, but not so much so that what you don't prepare for tomorrow. Now, I find it unusual here that what here a firstborn, given all the characteristics of a firstborn that we typically know that they have, that we find that Esau is short-sighted when it comes to this. So much so that the Bible even prophesied that what? That the older would serve the younger. How do you serve somebody, the older versus the younger? When you are indebted to them. The Bible says it like this, that the borrower is in what? Indebted to the lender. That the borrower is indebted to the lender. So what? If you are borrowing from somebody, that until you pay that back, you are indebtedness to them. You are technically a slave to them. If you are a slave, then what? That means you have a master. And if you have a master, that means you serve. You do not own yourself. If I owe you money, if I borrowed from you and I've not paid you, I'm in debt to you. This is not a new concept. So what we find here is that what? One-on-one hunting excursion that Esau went out to go get some deer or some animal to bring back for the family. He goes out and he exhausts himself. He overdid it. I tell you, myself as an overborn, sometimes I overdo it. Not because I find myself doing whatever, but I do it. Why? Because I'm trying to provide. You're trying to probably please, and you find yourself overdoing stuff. You find yourself caring more for others than they probably care for themselves. When, to be honest, maybe it's not your business. Oh, come on. And I'm in somebody's house today. No, but you see them as what? This is my brother or this is my sister, and I want to see them grow in this space. I want to see them better. I know we was raised better than what they're acting. I know we was taught to do better than what they're doing. So therefore, you find yourself trying to fix some things that you were never called to fix. Oh, am I in somebody's wheelhouse today? That you find them not, you know, when you look at siblings and things, and you're like, well, they just doing whatever and this and that, and you like, you're trying to keep it all together because you're thinking about this is how this affects the family. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, let's look at the other point of view. Let's look up Jacob's point of view. Jacob sees Esau as, no matter what he does, he's going to get this blessing. No matter where he finds himself, no matter how many bad decisions he makes, no matter how many, you know, close calls he has, that he's going to what? This is going to be his inheritance, and there's nothing I can do about it. So a form of maybe jealousy is here. Maybe a form of envy is here. But there's also, on the flip side, is a form of maybe entitlement. I tell you today, brothers and sisters, we probably live in the most entitlement society than we have ever before. That people have a sense of entitlement, that it belongs to me just because. And because of that, then we have a tendency to be arrogant. We have a tendency to be self-absorbed. We have a tendency to think it's about us, that the sun and sets and rises on us. And I believe that here Jacob finds himself resentful of that fact, because he's saying that I've not been blessed with the skill that my brother has. Come on, somebody. I'm in the wheelhouse this morning. I'm not blessed with the smarts or the craftiness or the cleverness of tongue that my brother Esau has. But this is all I have, and I see him seeming to waste that which he's been blessed with. So what we have here is we have two brothers that see two things differently, that have parents pitted against each other because one is one's favorite, one is the other's favorite. Mm-hmm. And now there's a sibling rivalry occurring here, right here in the house. When the truth of the matter is, they need each other. When the truth of the matter is that they should be accepting of each other. That I have this, but you have that. And if I got it, then we both should have it. See, Jacob didn't have to do what he did. In fact, if you go and you read the story further, you'll find out that he indeed had help. Some of us have help with our mess, and it's in our own family. Some of us have an enabler, and we find that Jacob's mother, Rebecca, was an enabler. She enabled Jacob to do his scheming. She enabled Jacob to do his trickery. She enabled Jacob. She even knew what she was doing. If you go and read, the Bible says that when Esau went out to go kill the deer, his father was waiting for this savory meat, that the Bible says she goes and they tell Jacob to do what? To kill two kid goats. You know, remember, goats are known as kids. Little goats are known as kids. To kill two kid goats that she can make the savory meat. So she used the same spices and herbs or whatever she would normally do that she would do to the deer meat, she did to this goat meat. So what? Jacob is old. Isaac is old. The Bible talks about his eyesight is weary. He can't see that well. You know, as you get older, things start to happen. He doesn't see that well. He probably didn't smell or taste that well. So all he knows is this is some meat. He knows that the son he asked to go get the meat, who traditionally go get the meat for him, went to go get the meat. So he's believing that that son is the one who went and got it. And the Bible talks about what? That the mother took the hair of the goat. Because remember, we talked about the Bible breaks really clearly that Esau was red, had red hair, and that he was hairy. And the Bible talks about that she took the hair of the goat and placed it on his hand so that when his father felt his hand, he felt hairy. See, some people would try to trick you into blessing them. Some would put you in a place that they would be deceitful because they want what you have so bad that they'll be willing to do any and everything to get it, and they would get help to do it. Yet on the flip side, you have all these things and do not realize what you have, Esau. Am I helping somebody in this space today? Let me hear you in the chat. Am I helping somebody? If I'm not, I just go ahead and get off. But am I helping somebody today? So you have Esau here who's blessed with all this talent and all these things. Yet, he didn't get it. He didn't realize that what I have not only can bless this generation, but will bless generations to come. He didn't realize that he's in a space, excuse me, that he could share not only the wealth, excuse me, his knowledge, his insight, his wisdom, his understanding, and his goods. I like to believe, and this is just me, this is Ely 101, I like to believe that if Esau would have shown himself that, hey, we're in this together, that I'm willing to share that which I have. I'm willing to give you some of that. I'm willing to make sure that you are taken care of. I think his brother would have reacted to him a little differently. The Bible says it like this. The Bible says, he that has friends must show himself friendly. Some of you ask yourself the question, say, I don't have friends. I don't have people I hang out with. It seems like everybody's just blah, blah, blah at me. Do some self-examination. How friendly are you? How friendly are you? Do you show yourself friendly? Are you nice to people? Are you engaging? Are you willing to share? Or is it always about you? Are you self-absorbed? Are you arrogant? Are you in a space that you are so blessed that's beyond measure and that you do not even realize it because you're so blessed? This is where we find Esau. To the fact that what? He gave away his blessing for a temporary pleasure. We've all found ourselves in places and times and situations where we found ourselves to be maybe a little bit hungry. But to give up everything for a bowl of soup that we find out in hindsight that now he's going to serve his brother the rest of his life because he was willing to give up his treasure, his puzzle pieces that he could bless somebody else. He gave it all away for temporary pleasure, for temporary situation, temporary circumstance. Let me tell you today, brothers and sisters, we have to be careful that we don't give away that which God has given us to others for a temporary situation. That we don't ransom our giftings. We don't ransom our anointing. We don't ransom our abilities. We don't ransom our prowess or whatever that God has given us for what? For right now. See, Jacob was thinking long term. Jacob was thinking, you know, I'm going to be on this earth for a while. Yet his brother was thinking, well, what if I die today? You know, it's like that old story of the ant and the grasshopper. The grasshopper just enjoying summer. And the ant knows that what? Winter is coming. And we find ourselves sometimes when we work in this space that we buy everything we want, we get everything we want, and we beg for what we need. We get everything we want, and yet we beg for what we need. Mm-hmm. So, as we move forward here, now we know that the mother helps Jacob, and Jacob goes to his father, and the father feels his hands, and the father feels the hair in his hand, and the father said, "Ooh, man, you came back kind of early," and he says, "Yes, this is me, Dad," and he said, "Well, you know, my eyes are old, and I can't see you," so parents can be what? Deceived in this. This was all planned out. And now what? He asked him for the blessing. The blessing to Jacob belonged to him. Why? Because he sold it for a bowl. To his brother for a bowl of soup. Now, was Esau bad off in this? Yes, absolutely. He gave it all away. He mortgaged his future for right now. Ask yourselves today, how many of you are in a place that you've been contemplating mortgaging your future for right now? Only you can answer that question. However, on the flip side of this, I am my brother's keeper, and his brother has an opportunity here. His brother has an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to feed you. But, you know, just make sure you take care of me when my time comes. Because we all have this life of ebbs and flows. Things come and go. We find ourselves in places and circumstances and situations. And if you live long enough, you're going to be down for a time. And you're going to be up for a time. Such is life. I have my ups and I have my downs. You have your good days. You have your bad days. And here what? Jacob takes the opportunity to get his brother on a bad day. Brothers and sisters, we are not to take advantage of each other. We are what? To serve one another. Yes, you have what I need. Yes, I have what you need. But how about this? How about it comes a thing that we pool these sources? I know some say, oh, here he go. He's a socialist and he's a socialist agenda. Well, the truth of the matter is, if that's the talk we want to use, then maybe Jesus Christ was a socialist too. By every means of the definition, he meets that too. He does. We can argue that later. But here he has this resource, and he has this resource, and you have what I need right now, but I have what you need later. But what does he do? He takes advantage of the moment. He's an opportunist. And being an opportunist, he takes away. Not only, I take that back. He didn't take away. He took the opportunity to receive what his brother willingly gave up, not realizing what he had. How many of times do we give up that which we really didn't realize what we had? Some of us give it away through our bodies, that we have promiscuous behavior. We do some things that we know we shouldn't have done. Some of us, we give it away in our talent, our resources, and we just let things just go and we just do whatever, because we don't realize what we have. I'm hoping through this message today that, what I have is valuable. What God has put in me is valuable. And it's what? To be shared and not abused. It's to be shared and not to be given away to the point that I have no longer have access to it. Mm-hmm. See, we have to be careful as we walk this walk in Christ that we know who we are, we know who we were called by, and we know how to share that which he shared with us. If I got it, we got it. Because what Jacob should have done, if he was being right, is that he should have said, okay, I know you're hungry, boy. Here, take this seat. Because I know I have plenty. And as a sign of goodwill and good gesture, his brother should have remembered him. What we find out later on, this is corrected in the Bible. What do you mean, how is it corrected? Well, you know, Jacob. Because we know, we don't really hear nothing much about Esau no more. Now he's Edom. We don't hear much about Esau after this. He lost the birthright. The blessing is no longer on him. The father prays and gives the blessing to Jacob. And then Esau comes in and is like, oh, I didn't mean to give that away. I just did it for that moment. Da, 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 da. Nope, gone, too late. End of discussion. Now he's lost that birthright. And he's somewhere crying that he realized that he gave his birthright over a bowl of soup. But Jacob goes on, and Jacob is indeed blessed. But Jacob also lives a troubled life. Why? Because this thing of being a trickster is on him his whole life. The Bible talks about, if you go ahead and you read the story of Jacob, that Jacob goes in and Jacob wants to marry his wife. Mm-hmm. And Jacob wants to marry a wife, and the Bible tells him that he has to work 14 years. I mean, he has to work 7 years for this wife. He goes to go marry this wife and finds out he doesn't get the wife. He gets this older sister. Remember, I told you birth order matters. The father said, Father Laban said, hey, the oldest daughter's not married. She needs to be married first. So what does he do? He gives Jacob her, and he sleeps with her and think that he has Rachel. And then he doesn't have Rachel. He had her big sister. You see this throughout the Bible. So then what? Now he has to work another 7 years. So now he's tricked just like he was tricking people. See? That thing that you start out by is the thing you're going to live by. This is why it's important that you treat everybody right. So now what, Jacob, now he's going to the point. Now he's struggling and he's going through. And the Bible says that he's fighting with an angel. And the angel, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel, you know what the angel did? Busted him in his hip. Essentially knocked his hip out of joint. You ever had your hip knocked out of joint? I haven't, but I heard it's quite painful. I'm quite sure it is. So now what? That, you know, and the angel has to bust his hip out of joint to get away from him. But then the angel does what? He does bless him, and he changes his name. Watch this. From Jacob, which was trickster, to Israel, the father of many nations. And we know, if you follow the lineage of the Bible, that we find that Israel, this is where the children of Israel come from. So from Jacob, he has what? Those 12 sons that come to be what? The 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. One of those tribes is called Judah, which is the lineage of David, which is also the lineage of Jesus Christ. One of those sons that he has is named what? Joseph. Woo, come on, somebody. I remember just like his father before him, he had a son that he favored, and he gave him a coat of many colors, which I believe represented the many nations. He had a dream. He had an end goal in mind. He saw that they were going to be bound to him, and yet they didn't see it. Yet they were jealous of it. Do you not see this sibling rivalry throughout the Bible? This is just not today, not just an Esau story, but we see it follows him throughout his life, throughout his family. That curse stays with them. And now what? They come in, they tell the daddy that the boy, that Joseph is dead. Yet we find Joseph, what, some 30-some years later, sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh. And he has the opportunity to what? Get even. And what does he do? God took him through all these circumstances and these situations so that now when he's in the space, he understands. This is why I understand today. I got it. We got it. Yeah, I know you messed yours up. We didn't work for it, but I'm going to use some wisdom, but I'm still going to be there to support my brother and my sister. Both my natural brother and sister, my spiritual brothers and sisters. Yeah, you missed the mark. Why? But it don't belong to me anyway. What I have is yours. I got it. You got it. I don't have to force you to sell yourself or see you prostitute or prostrate your giftings and your anointing. Why? To get to a space of something that I know I can help you with. Mm-hmm. And what does Jacob do? Joseph does. We know this story that Joseph is sitting there and he sees his family. And Joseph's in a position that he can offer. He can get rid of them. He's sitting next to Pharaoh. But Joseph makes the wise decision through the years and the turmoil and the things that curse ends today. That curse is going to end with me. And he makes the decision to be a blessing to his family. When everything about him said, I could have got them. Everything about them said that they ran over me. Everything about them said that this shouldn't work, that they take advantage of the situations and they don't do right. And it's not for you to decide who made you king. I know sometimes I get, as big brother, I look and say, man, I don't know why my brother did that. Why I got to go bail him out? Why we got to go do this? But the truth of the matter is, to whom much is given, much is required. And today's safe house, I tell you that God has blessed many of you with many things. And I know sometimes we look at it where, Pastor, why we got to do this? Little Pastor, why we got to pray for them? And Pastor, what I got to do? They made these dumb decisions. They did this. They did that. But at the same time, who died and made us king? At the same time, are we self-absorbed? At the same time, are we being arrogant? At the same time, are we being, zealots in the space? Because at the same time, we do something foolish sometimes too. At the same time, we are dropping and realize that what? We're in this together. And if we ain't winning, nobody's winning. I don't win. We win. And you know that the Bible says that we go. You're not going to be in heaven alone. You're not going to be in there by yourself. What good is it that you can do all these things and have all these things and go all these places, yet the one you see sit here and die? The Bible talks about how good it is to have faith in the one that we don't see, but yet the one we do see, we walk by. We walk right past them as if they don't even exist. I challenge you today, reimagine God in this space. If I got it, we got it. Because we are in this together. We don't walk in isolation. I need you all to survive. I told you all in prayer on last week that I get up and I pray harder. I pray more fervent. Why? Because I get on there and I see 10, 15 of you all in there in the prayer at 6 a.m. in the morning. That does something. Just like I believe that you just don't get up for your health because some of you rather probably be sleeping in, me included. But we know there's something there. There's an exchange that's being made. that's valuable to both parties, and that both parties need each other to survive, and that we're not just walking by faith. I mean, we're not just walking by sight, but in this thing, we're walking by faith, that we are what the undergird one another and to strengthen one another in our walk and in our talk. So I ask you today, if I got it, we got it. Don't sell what God has given you for a bowl of soup. Don't trick somebody out of what they have. But put yourself in the space to say that what I have, you need, and what you have, I need. In conclusion to the puzzle pieces, I got, the story that I started with that talk, the puzzle piece. What we found was that as we went around, the other people, they had strategically placed a piece of the puzzle for us to finish our puzzle in our group, in another group. And for us to finish our puzzle, we had to communicate with the other group to realize, hey, they had the piece that we needed. And we may have had the piece that they needed. Or we may have not. We might have had another group's piece. But what happens is this cross collaboration. This is why the hand can't say to the foot, I don't have need of thee. This is why everybody in Christ matters. From the doorman, to the person who works the sound, to the person who watched the kids, to the one who makes sure that the chairs are set up. It does not matter. You all matter in this space. And we're all family. Whether we treat each other that way or not, we're all family. And yes, I got it. We got it. We all need each other. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that this blessing has found you and found you well to realize that, hey, we can do better. We can do better. And we will do better. And if I got it, then you got it. God bless you all. I love you all. I ask that if this has been a blessing to you all, that you be a blessing in this space on today as we go into our tithe and offering period. If you would be so kind, if God has laid it on your heart here, we accept offerings here at the Cash App. Cash App, that's Safe House Church, GSO. Again, that's $ Safe House Church, GSO. Or you can mail a check or a money order to Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. That's 27358. Again, that's Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Or you can PayPal. That's paypal.me/ministry aid. Again, paypal.me/ministry aid. Amen, amen. But God has been good, and he's worthy to be praised. I also want to remind you next week, during the week, we have the Women at the Well, which will meet at Monday at 7 p.m. As to all you ladies, remember Women at the Well, that you all go out and continue to work. That space has just been growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm just so excited about what God is doing there with the Women at the Well. It's a private space for women only. Women have their own, sometimes it's Bible study, sometimes it's just, lady talk, whatever the case may be, but it's there where they go in to discuss and to celebrate and work with one another. Amen. And then on the men, we have the locker room, the men's locker room, safe place. It's the same thing, but it's our men's version of that. And we meet at 9 p.m. on Thursday nights. All right, so I pray that all is well, and if there's nothing else to be said there in the space. So again, want to wish First Lady a happy, happy birthday. We're just so grateful that God has allowed you to be with us this long. We love you. We love you to life, and we're just so grateful. Also, remember on next week, on Wednesday night, I apologize for last Wednesday. You all know that I do work by vocational. I work a job, and I couldn't get back in time. But we'll start right back in the book of Acts where we've been, and we'll get through that. Amen. So I'm just so grateful to you all and for understanding that. So on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., there we are doing our weekly Bible study, and then we'll find ourselves back here. Remember also on prayer, we have prayer every single day, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. We only go for 30 minutes from 6 a.m. to 6:30. We are prayer. I don't know about you, but prayer changes things. And I'm just so grateful that prayer is changing things. And many people that we've been praying for, we've been hearing the praise reports, those who we've been praying for that recovered from COVID, those who are coming, you know, recovering from cancer. Amen. Brother Izzy just came out of that operation. And from my understanding, they, you know, they seem deemed it to be a success. So we're just grateful that God is doing so much and he's opening up doors to others in employment and changing things. And just grateful, 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 grateful. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that you found this today to be a blessing. Share this with somebody else. You all take care. Be safe and be diligent. And also be careful. Be careful. Be discerning. Make sure you look at your surroundings and know. And I pray the protection on you. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, we want to say we thank you. Lord, I ask that you watch and you keep your people this week. Lord, let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them in any form or fashion. Bless them, oh God. Bless them in they're coming in and they're going out, Lord. Continue to strengthen and keep them, Lord, as they go forward, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. And we praise your name, Lord Jesus. We ask you to give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, for it belongs to you and you alone. For we know this one thing and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing. Yeah. No more.